And I was in Valdez, North Carolina this week preaching a meeting, and a woman run up to me and said, "Looky here." She had a boy in her arms, and I said, "That's a fine-looking boy." She said, "His name is Benjamin, named after his daddy." Amen. And there's another Benjamin here, too. Amen. All right. Chapter 40 of the book of Psalms. Just want to tell you the rescue work works. It works. It's of God. It's scriptural. Be you kind and tender-hearted. If you don't love people, don't be telling me about your love for God. If you don't love a lost world, don't be telling me nothing about how you love the Bible. Amen. Amen. Psalms 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know, I believe that many times in the Bible, like this 40th Psalm, you get down there and many of these verses are really dealing with the Lord. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, His very self. And it gets down there and He said, "I delight to do Thy will. I have preached Thy righteousness and what have you. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me," there in verse 7. And many times the Bible is dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet this chapter was written about a man who had got saved in a horrible pit. And regardless of what all it just refers to in the future, 2,000 years in the future, but right here and right now, this was dealing with a man who had come out of a horrible pit. And today I'd like to preach this sermon, if you please, on a man who had got dug out of a pit and got dug out of a mire clay and got his feet on a solid rock, and God did something with this man. And the same thing that happened to this man can happen to you. And if you'll take these scriptures and not apply them to the Lord, but apply them to yourself, you'll go out of here a better person. And the first thing it said in verse 40 and verse 1, it said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry." And I've often wondered about that verse of Scripture. It said, "They that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I just, you know, I've wondered many times this call. I know it's just you call one time and you're saved, but I wonder what God really means. Brother York said a while ago, he called on God and got saved when he was 7 years old. But there come a time in his life when he had to call on God and he quit calling on God, and got away from God. But when we call on God daily and hourly and weekly, we can walk with the Lord. Oh yeah, oh yeah. We can walk with the Lord. So David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he said, I didn't wait in vain. He brought me out. He established my going. He put a new song in my mouth, a praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that when you wait for God and God does something for you, He'll put a song in your heart. I didn't say a sour, pickle face. I said He put a song in your heart. I mean, you'll come to church and enjoy it. Amen? Some people got a religion, they endure. I tell you about mine. I guess I'm emotional. No drug addict got saved. I guess I'm emotional, but I tell you, I've been shouting it out 30-something years. I'm an independent, fundamental Bible believer, but I'll tell you something, this God. I'm not a charismatic. I'm not a Pentecostal. But I'll tell you something. I'm a shouting Baptist. Amen? And ever since God saved me, I've had something to praise the Lord about. He put a new song in my heart. Now, before He saved me, my favorite song was "I Can't Lose with the Stuff I Use." But that song was a lie. Because the stuff I lose, you sure gonna lose. Amen? Amen. But He put a new song in my heart. And Brother Jack, what is your song? "Amazing Grace, I Sing the Sound." Amen. Amen. He'll establish your going. Oh, some of you are so dead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But in your Bible, in your Bible, David said, "Many, Lord God," in verse 5, "thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy faults which are to usward, that cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou did not desire, and mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, I delight to do thy will." Now, I want to tell you something today. If you're saved and in a church, and if you're right with God today, you delight to do God's will. Look at that verse of Scripture, verse 8. "I delight to do thy will." Now, some people act like that the will of God is like taking some kind of medicine. I mean, man, you try to pour it down their nose. Did you ever give a kid, we had all them young ones, five boys and them three girls, and you give some of them medicine, they go, and that way it is in the church. You give people something to really help them, something to really bless them. They spit it out. They spit it out. Amen. But David here said, "I delight to Lord." Why did he delight? Because God had took him out of a horrible pit and put his feet on a solid rock. Establish his going. And I mean, things got to going good. Things got to going good. He said, "Lord, I delight to do thy will." In other words, that word delight, he said, "Man, I take a high degree of pleasure in doing God's will." I ain't never got it since I've been saved. I mean, I've been saved 35 years. I never got up and said, "Well, I wonder what I'm going to do this Sunday morning. Man, bless God, I wonder what's going to happen down the church." Man, 35 years, I've been wondering, man, maybe God's going to really move in. Man, hell, I'd be a revival, praise God, in 88, like we ain't never seen before. Man, I'd like to be that. And I last night, it was about 20-something men down here praying for this service last night. And boy, I'm telling you, I got to pray, and I said, "Lord, this might be the day." Yeah. I mean, God would just do something. Man, I look like to be a child of God, or delight in the things of the Lord. I mean, just take great pleasure. I mean, get great satisfaction out of doing God's will. "Lord, I delight to do thy will. Oh God, thy law is in my heart." I've seen Christians go, "Say, my soul, it's Sunday again." I mean, here it is Monday morning, and I'm a Christian, and I ain't supposed to steal nothing. I mean, I'm going to run my business, and I can't even tell a lie where I delight to do thy will. What is God's will? Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, just get up Monday morning, and people say it's a blue Monday. No, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice therein. It's the Lord's day. Amen. You get up in the morning, and you're saved. You're still alive. You're well and doing good. God's been good to you and met with you yesterday. Just delight in God's will. Amen, Brother Wood. I mean, this word, "I delight to do thy will," is just to be very agreeable. Did you ever see some of these disagreeable Baptists? There's a church out of Dion, Texas. They voted to do something. I forget what they voted. One lady raised her hand and said, "Can I say something?" She stood about 50 people on Wednesday night. She said, "I just want everybody to know I'm against it." And said, "Hey." Only one of us. I mean, she delighted to be disagreeable. I mean, I know a lot of Baptists like that. I mean, they come down here and say, "Brother, what? Do you know what Nixon done? I don't care what he done. I tell you what he done. He done what the rest of them done. Stole all he could get." Amen? Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Jesse Jackson gonna run for president. He gonna help us all. Yeah. He gonna give $10 million, get a job that pays $500,000 a year. Yeah, he gonna help me. I got more sense than that. If he got $2 million out of the bread basket, ain't no telling what he's gonna get out of the other basket. Amen. All right. "I don't like to do thy will." You say, "I don't like you." That's okay. Amen. At least he ain't been trading for dope. Amen. All right. "I don't like to do thy will." I don't like to do thy will, boss. All right, I lost some of y'all. Amen. It's all right. Joy and rejoicing goes along with loving God. Joy and rejoicing goes along with serving God. Praising the Lord goes along with being saved. If you ever get your feet on a solid rock, it goes along, and your ways are established, and your goings are made straight. I mean, you're just beginning to praise the Lord. Amen. I like that. I really do. Look at verse 9. "I have preached righteousness in thy great congregation." Now, this is David talking.
You say, well, the Lord did it.
I'm telling you, this is David talking. David said, Lord, I have preached righteousness, godly living. Yes, sir. I had a fellow call me up one time, and he said, come here. You're just a young preacher. You're not about 26 years old. I want to have dinner with you. He took me out and bought me dinner on spring break. I took my boat down.
And this boy, Brother York's daddy, had moved the tents up here for us. We had to move York panel. And he brought the tent up here in 1950-something. And he called me out the other side of the preacher here. And he said, if you stay around less for a little while, he said, you'll wind up teaching Sunday school, Father. I said, that'd be a blessing. He said, yeah, but he's always talking about people. And he said, he's always talking about the liquor crowd. And he said, if God wanted you to smoke, he'd build a chimney on your head. And all that kind of stuff. He says all them old crazy things. And he said, that ain't the way you preach. That guy died. When he died, he had 12 people in his church. Blessed the Lord, I've reached thousands of people with the gospel. Thousands of people are saved under his ministry. And this nut will take me out and buy me dinner and tell me to get with the wicked instead of the righteous. Not staying with the righteous. Amen. 3 weeks before he died, I talked to him on the phone. And he said, Jack, and he told me what to do and told me some things I should do. I thank God. He said, I have preached righteousness. What a wonderful job. What a wonderful experience. What a wonderful accomplishment to preach righteousness to the great congregations in this land, to the great crowds. I want to tell you something. When David preached, the poor listened. I said the poor listened. The smart aleck didn't listen like they don't do here. Oh, man, we have some of these people, they got so much money and they got so much education that they just get up and walk out the door while I'm preaching. They think I'm rude. They just get up and leave. Amen? Well, you can go if you want to. You can act like you're going to the bathroom. Do whatever you want to. Nobody around here cares. Amen? You can chuck a songbook around here. Nobody would. It wouldn't faze nobody. Amen? All these old boys, they've been in the penitentiary and everywhere. They don't care. You couldn't bother them. You say, I'll jump up over you. You can't do that. Brother Don Connell won't let you. Yeah, we'll get John Smithberg up here. He'll handle all that. Amen? Amen. Y'all have lost your sense of humor. Yeah. I said, the poor listen. The poor listened, and the princes heard the rebuke of David. As David stood and rebuked the great congregation. Hey, listen, when Jesus preached, the publicans rejoiced. And when you and I preach to an unsaved world, some of them going to hear and listen and rejoice therein. The Pharisees raged and called him everything in the world. Same way today. Ain't going to change a bit in this world. Ain't going to change a bit in this world. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wood. He preached to the great crowds and multitudes heard the preacher. I want you to notice this Bible. It said in verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have not hid thy righteousness. Some people said, I just don't believe that it's necessary to tell other people what's happened to you. He said, I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. In other words, whatever you got, it got out. I was reading this week the life of Stonewall Jackson. I don't know how many times I've read it. But I was reading the life of Stonewall Jackson, and a couple of his generals were in there, and General Hill and General Ewell had walked outside, and he said, well, I'll think about what we're going to do. And General Hill said, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go in there and pray about what he's going to do. And so Ewell, not being a believer, he sneaked back over the tent and looked in. When he looked in, that old man was down there, had a long beard, and he was down there weeping and crying, and his eyes were open. And he's just out loud saying, oh God, direct my path. Oh God, I want to praise you for Jesus. And he was just praising God and praying. Ewell turned around and walked back over to General Hill and said, if that is religion, I must have it. And I must have it quickly. And within 2 months, General Ewell was a saved man. He got saved because that general didn't hide his righteousness. Man told General Robert E. Lee one day, said, we need some Bibles. And Lee said, we don't have the money to buy them. But he said, I'll tell you what. He said, many years ago down in Mexico, he said, when I was fighting in Mexico, said, they gave me this Bible right here. And he said, if you'll take it over yonder, he said, you can probably trade it because it's got a president of Mexico's name in there. And you can probably trade it as an antique for a dozen other ones. And he took that one Bible he had and traded it for a dozen other Bibles and handed them out to the generals in that army. I'm not here to deny righteousness. Some people are scared. They got religion they're scared of. I'd be scared of what I'm scared of. I'm not here to deny righteousness.
Never a man spake like this man. And I want to tell you something. When Peter and James and John got up and preached, people didn't understand. They had that touch of God on them. Listen, they taught how God's man could only be made righteous in Christ. When you begin to declare the righteousness of God, you're showing a man he can be saved by grace and grace alone. And God is the only one that can do that. And David said, I have preached thy righteousness in the great congregation. Some of you boys are not preaching Sunday at the flea market. They don't like that. You get over the streets of Houston, they get a baseball bat, they run over you. Some of you boys have been run over in cars, hit with a baseball bat, handcuffed by the police, and there ain't no law against it. I asked one policeman, I said, but ain't no law against it, how come you arrested? He said, well, I don't know. Public opinion. I said, well, public opinion, I think the chief police is a crumb. That's my public opinion.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes,
amen. I've declared thy righteousness. Amen. Now, won't you notice something, please, in your Bible in verse 10. He said, I have not refrained my lips, Lord. Lord, I've gave you my lips. Lord, I've gave you my lips. Lord, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. Lord, I have declared thy faithfulness. David said, Lord, I want you to know that I've got to tell the world that God is able to do what he said. Years ago, some 14, 15 years ago, whenever it was, and I came to this church, you know, we began to start a mission program. And a man came to me here one morning, and he said to me, some 14, 15 years ago, he said, you cannot do what you're trying to do. He said, the way this church has always worked, we did what we could. That sounds all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing the man part. But somehow in my heart, I wondered what God could do through this church. And at that time, I believe Brother Carl, this church was giving about $1,500 a year to foreign missions. And the next year we gave $20,000. Next year we gave $30,000. Next year we gave $40,000. Next year we gave $50,000. Next year we gave $75,000. And the last, I don't know, some 7, 8, 10 years, we have gave over $100,000 a year. This year it's already up to $50,000. You said you can't do that. No, but God can.
Yeah,
you open your hands, you open your heart, God can do whatever he wants to. Amen. I like that. He said, I have declared thy faithfulness. God is faithful in his character. God is faithful in his own law. God is faithful to the saved man. God is faithful. Whatever God promised, God can do it. I said, God is faithful in all of his promises. You can run up and down the street and shout, God is faithful. The world said, where is the promise of his coming? Same place it was 2,000 years ago, written down in the book.
Amen.
What did he say? He said, I'll come again.
Amen.
What's he going to do? He'll be here.
Yes.
You said you didn't get here yesterday, but he's coming.
Amen.
He's on his way.
Yes,
and David and Isaiah's day, they said, where is the promise of his coming? He said, Isaiah 7:14, I wrote that.
Amen.
They said, where is the promise? He said, 9:6, he's coming.
Yeah.
What happened back then? 800-something years. He got here.
Amen.
Isaiah had been dead 800 years when they buried him. The religious crowd stood and laughed and said he thought the Lord was coming. But one day a lady walked in a temple. There's an old man and woman in there praying. That old man walked up and said, whoo, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
And that old woman walked up and said, good morning, God. Sure good to see you. We knew you was coming. We was awake. I say he's running on God's clock, not yours.
Amen.
I say he's running in God's time, not our time.
Amen.
But he's a coming.
Amen.
He's a coming! Hey, sinner friend, he's a coming! Hey, saint of God, he's a coming! Hey, backslider, he's coming! He said he's coming. He's a coming. Amen. I'm not here thy righteousness. I have not. I have declared thy faithfulness. There's no excuse for it. You've never failed. You've never faltered. Lord, you've never lied to me. Lord, I have told the world your faith. Took me out of a horrible pit. Put my feet upon a solid rock. Boy got up last Thursday night and he said, we're going to sing one of them rock songs. They stood up and sang Rock of Ages, cleft from me. Let me hide myself in thee. One of them rock songs. I said, y'all got any more than rock songs? He said, yeah, how firm a foundation. They sang it.
I like that. Boy, I have declared thy righteousness, Lord. I have declared thy righteousness. Look at the word of God, please, in verse 10. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. This is a man who had been took out of a horrible pit. Here's a dirty, filthy, ungodly life that had been transformed by the power of God. And he said, Lord, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and truth. And the great men of our time and of our age have come on the scene. And they've been very few. And the old prophets of God, oh, God has always been the same. They were loving, kind men. They were gracious men. But they told the truth regardless what it cost. Yeah, they were tender as well as a stern attribute. Yes, a man's got to be tender in his heart, but he's got to be stern in his attributes. And that's the way John the Baptist was. He come a weeping, but yet he come making other people wail. Amen. Cowardice has no place in the work of God. He said, I have not concealed thy loving. I've not hid anything. How come you didn't hide anything, Brother Jack? He'd been dug out of a horrible pit. You know why some folks don't ever live for God? They don't ever stop and look back. Where they'd be. Where they would be. I got a letter last night, a terrible letter. And I sat there and I read that letter. Make the angels of God weep. And a man's life and his family was destroyed. And I said, oh my God, my God. But that woman, I thought about that woman, how that woman had resisted this church and resisted this ministry and hated this church and hated this ministry. And I watched that man who tried to live for God for 15, 18 years. And I watched that whole family, whole life and whole marriage and everything go down the tube. And I said, that's an awful price to pay for the hatred against a church. And she said, I just tell you that them people waving her hand praising God bothers me. I'm going to tell you something, cowboy. It don't bother me if you sit on that pew and don't do nothing. And if you jump up and run out now and I'll shout hallelujah, it doesn't bother me a bit in the world. I don't care what you do. All I want to know what you do when you're going to get up on your feet and get outside and build. And what are you going to do? And if you're going to live for God, you can come in this building and shout all you want to. You can praise God all you want to. You can wave your hand all you want to. If you're going to go outside and live for God when you get outside. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. There's no cowardice. A coward has no place. Your wagon train said, the cowards never start, and the weak die along the way. That's a good saying. But in God's work, there is no place for a coward. I despise a coward. The worst whipping, my dad's sitting here this morning, the worst whipping I've got in my life. My dad told me, said, if you ever let that boy whoop you again, I'm going to whoop you, Jack. And the worst whooping I ever got was a few weeks later. Me and this boy got into it. And Papa kind of jumped the gun, you know, and I'd done the best hand. I had just had a trace change all I had, and I was doing the best I could with it. He's 2 or 3 years older than me, and he'd whooped on me and whooped on me. But Papa got tired of that. Papa said, Jack, you don't run, you don't do nothing. And I mean, I beat him all over one of his legs. I took that trace change, whooped him all over his head with it. Then I said, son, I ain't raised no cow. And I don't have one. I've got 5 boys this morning, and I never raised a cow. The one sitting over on the left over here weighs about 195 pounds. The man says, you're lying, Daddy's still there. And he's plumb on that man's face. He said, what'd you say about my daddy? He said, man, I'm just joking. He said, man, you won't be joking about that. That ain't no joke. Amen. Ain't no joke. Yeah. Oh, you said, brother, well, I don't believe you ought to be violent. What'd you go to army for?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. This guy wrote that 40 Psalm. He didn't have no lace on his drawers. He was a man. And he had a rock in his hand, hit that giant right between his eyes with it, took that sword out, chopped his head off, threw it over his back, walked down the street, rolled it up, and said, how's that?
Yeah.
I said, it wasn't no sister.
Yeah,
I said, he's a man. He's a man. And he's a fighting man. And yet, when that was all over, he was a broken-hearted man, could kneel down before God and weep over the lost world.
Amen.
That's a man.
Yeah.
Ugliness is not a man. Here's a man right here. I'm going to tell you something about David. You can say anything you want to about him, and it'd be true, but you won't ever call him a coward. Well, that didn't run in his bloodstream. That didn't run in his bloodstream. He had 3 brothers were cowards, but their little baby boy wasn't. He was scared of nothing. He said, in the name of the Lord God of Israel, boom,
I mean, he put a hickey on his head, buddy. Yes, sir. He said, I've not hit anything. In Christianity, there's no place for compromise. The word compromise, as far as I'm concerned, is an immoral word. And someday, some people today are saying, well, we got to give and take. It ain't no give and take in Christianity. I heard them tell Lester Roloff off that 30 years ago. You got to give and take. All Lester ever did was give it to him. I mean, he gave it to him for breakfast. He gave it to him at dinner. He gave it to him on the radio. He gave it to him in the pen. He gave it to him every time he met him. He gave it to him. Mm-hmm. Well, no give and take. Ain't no give and take in this Bible. I'm standing on a rock. And that rock is not going to move, cowboy. You got that this morning? I have not concealed. There's compromise is non-Christian. Compromise is ungodly. You say, well, we got to get a balance. There ain't no such thing as a balance. Here's the balance right here. This is the balance right here. Doesn't go across. Hey, listen. These old men died with this book right here. This book right here. This 1611, they died with this book in their hand. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You go home, you turn over there in the book of Psalms, in the book of Samuel, the 19th chapter. Who killed Goliath? Who killed Goliath? Every other Bible, except that King James Bible, said Elihan killed. Now go home and read that. It said, and Elihan slew Goliath. This King James Bible said, and Elihan slew the brother of Goliath. I believe every kid in our junior department knows who killed him, except Dr. Doodledinger.
Amen.
You think Lester Roloff stood on this King James Bible and fought all over this land for it? Preached on it? I called him one night and I said, preacher, what are we going to do? And the last message that he preached at Tennessee Temple College was, we must go back to the Word of God. I've got the tape for them. I got the tape right here in the church. He said, I'll take care of it, Brother Jane. Don't worry about it. He took care of it. He looked Dr. Lee Robinson right square in the face. And he said, Lee, me and you spent nearly 100 years in the ministry. Everything we've ever done came out of this Bible right here. Everything we've ever done, Lee. He said, everything we've ever done. And he said, you bunch of Greek professors, you bunch of college professors, you're messing with my mother, the Word of God. And he said, I'm going to fight you to the end. He did just exactly that.
Amen.
Sorry. Oh, you said, I don't like that. I don't care if you like it or not. It's truth anyhow.
Amen.
Make a difference, does it? I said, chapter 40. You got your Bible? I'm about through. You say, I've been through a good while. That's all right. Amen. Withhold not thy tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually prevail upon me. He said, David said when he got down to the end, last verse, he said, I'm poor, I'm needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thy my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That what he was saying, he said, I'm poor and I'm needy, yet the Lord is thinking about me. Now, I want you to just get something. Now, you occur to you that God is thinking about you. Did that ever occur to you? Did that ever occur to you when you got up this morning and put your clothes on? God had you on His mind. Did it ever occur to you when Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross? He had you on His mind. When he got up that grave and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he got you and me on his mind. What is man that thy mindful of him? I don't know. But he wrote that down 2 times in the Bible. You'll make sure you believe it. You have an Old Testament saying and a New Testament saying, make sure you believe it. I got you on my mind, boy. Did you ever meet somebody call you on the phone? Yesterday, Brother Dan Gilbert called me. I said, Dan, this must be mental telepathy. I'm just fixing to call you. He said, well, I was thinking about you. And I said, Dan, I was thinking about you. Amen. Just two friends. Just two Christian friends. And all the way from Los Angeles, he called me and said, I just wanted to talk to you. But boy, to think about just two earthly men. But boy, to think about the great God in glory.
Yeah.
Sitting up there. And one angel walked over and said, sir, excuse me. What was you thinking about? He said, Joe Palacios. The big angel come by. He looked like he is indeed standing. And he said, big angel, sir, what you thinking about, Lord?
He said, oh, I sang about Bobby Cox and his work. You saw him believe it. I don't care. He said, I'm poor, needy. And he said, I can read the Bible. The Lord is thinking on me. He said, he's got me to a rock. He's got me established. He's got me going. And he's thinking about me. My soul, I don't like a dead Methodist jump up and have a holy shout out. The Lord is thinking about me. God has got me on his mind. God has got me on his heart. My soul above. God has got me in his hands. One man said, I believe you can get lost. I said, how? He said, he said, you shall never perish. He said, yeah. And I said, he's got me in his hand. He said, yeah, but you can jump out. I looked at my big old hand and I thought about how big God's was. He must have had a pretty good finger to make that Mississippi River.
Man.
I've been across that Chaffalaya River and they said 75 foot deep. Take a big finger and make that thing 75 foot deep. That'd be a pretty good jump. Now you talking about a broad jump, you'd be a jumper, boy. You said, Brother Wood, you can't get out of God's hand, but you can jump out yourself. Big jump. You must be Clark Bullfrog. That's a big jump, honey. Should have got the whole world, the little girl sitting in his hand. Think about God. You know, mother sits down. I've seen these mothers here last night with their babies. I seen Karen, and I saw these girls sit there with their babies in their hand looking at them. I seen them this morning dressing them little babies and getting them ready to come to church. I watched Gabe put that on. They said, Cody's got one suit just like that. And they was talking about how they looked and everything. And you know, in the middle of the night, that mother can be sound asleep, sound asleep. And that baby goes, wah. Their daddy goes, wah. That mother's, because that mother went to bed with that baby on her mind. You see, that mother carried that baby 9 months before he was born. It's something, God somehow or another don't put nothing like a mother and that boy, a mother and that girl. That child, as long as that mother, somehow or another, just altogether different than daddy. Oh, yeah? It's altogether different, but it's altogether different. I mean, I slept them, oh, I said, boy, that kid had stomach ache all night. I said, did he? I know it. I slept, man. I slept right on through it. But God stays up all night. Says, ain't no night there. And watches me. You say, I don't believe that. I don't care. I do.
Amen.
And God hadn't only got me in his hand, but he's got me in his plan. He didn't only want to save my soul, Brother Dan, but he had a plan for my life. God has got a plan. And as this man said a while ago, the devil tries to distort that plan. The devil just constantly trying to distort God. He tries to get you to marry the wrong woman. He tries to get you to marry the wrong boy. He tries to get you to go to the wrong church. He tries to get you to do the wrong thing. He's just constantly trying to get you out of God's plan. God's first plan for David was to get saved. Next plan was to establish his going. Next time, settle him on that rock. Next time, let him know that the Heavenly Father was watching over him. The God of Israel never sleeps. My God's not asleep today. You said, you know what's going on in Washington? I really don't care. I tell you what's going on in heaven. God has got me on his mind. Let's pray. Lord, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Lord, I'm poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh on me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Oh, my God. David was having some problems. And he could look to God and know that God dug him out of that horrible pit. Since he'd done that, he could do anything. Since he had helped him and put him on the throne, God could do anything. And David found out in that 40th Psalm that God loved him and cared about him. And young man, you're here this morning. God don't only want to dig you out of the horrible pit. God's got a plan for your life. God's got something he wants to do with your life. You'll give God a little time. You'll yield and say yes to God. You just say, Lord, I will this morning. God will take over your life, young lady. He'll give you something worth living for. He'll give you some joy of the Spirit of God. He'll put some rejoicing down in your soul. And you can go down the road saying, it's good. It's good. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I was glad to do thy will. Lord, I made the high praises of God. Why? It's wonderful to serve God. Every head bowed, everyone praying. I wonder this morning if you're here, you're not saved. Never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's some folks standing right here in the front. Brother Dan, Brother Bobby, Sister Lila. They stand right here in the front. Wants to lead you to the Lord. Wants to tell you how to be saved. Young lady, somebody here won't tell you how to be saved. Boy or girl, they'll tell you how to be saved. You don't have to worry. Nobody's going to baptize you. Nobody's going to get you to join a church. They're going to get you saved. That's what you need. You might be from another city, another town. You might not never be here again. But you can get saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I pray today that you'll come and say, Lord, here I am. But then today you say, Brother Wood, I know I'm saved. I know the Lord dug me out of a horrible pit. But Lord, He really hadn't established my goings yet. Brother Wood, my life really hasn't been what it ought to be. Why don't you come down and get somebody to pray with you? They'll kneel right here with you and pray with you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Do not just kneel here and pray with you and help you. That's all we want to do. Father, speak to that heart that needs help this morning. That young man, Lord, his life is often a storm and often a wreck, just like David's was. And he comes today and says, Lord, set my feet upon a solid rock. Give me something, security to stand upon. God bless you this morning. Speak to those in need, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
And number 81, just as I am, without one plea.
You'll have to come just like you are. There'll be no changing or rearranging. You'll have to come just like you are. Just like some's already done. Just come right on.